I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we look at two of the most incredible discoveries of our time. One deals with the Siege of Masada, and the other one deals with the secret gospel of Mark. I don't know if you've heard of either one of these two, but to me, they're fascinating. The Siege of Masada first. Masada is a Hebrew word that means fortress. Masada is an ancient fortification. It's south of Jerusalem. It's located on top of this isolated rock plateau, which looks a little bit like a mesa in the western United States with sheer walls. It's almost 1,500 feet tall. Takes about an hour and a half to climb up from the bottom on a little trail, which is very steep, very windy, and until recently so narrow that you had to climb up single file. Masada is 33 miles south and a little bit east of Jerusalem. It's located right on the southwest shores, or just a little ways away from the southwest shores of the Dead Sea. It actually overlooks the western shore of the Dead Sea at the south end. Herod the Great built two palaces for himself on Masada, and he fortified both of them. He did this between 37 and 31 BC. Masada is very isolated. And if you look at it on a map, on a video, in a photo, it appears impregnable. It's absolutely incredible. You might wonder, how would they get water in this place? Absolutely no plumbing, obviously. Well, the answer is that the top of this plateau was graded in such a way that whenever it rains, all the water runs into these enormous cisterns strategically carved out of the sheer rock, which hold water. And so, if needed, water can be transported up, but usually Masada has the water that it needs. The pathway that goes up to Masada is nicknamed the snake because of the way that it twists and zigzags to the summit. Masada got its name because it was the fortress or the place where David rested when he fled from the wrath of his father-in-law, King Saul. The Siege of Masada, which is the main event that I wanted to talk about after this short little introduction, was one of the final events of the first Jewish-Roman War. The siege is known to history from the famed Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was born and raised in Jerusalem. He provided detailed accounts of the first Jewish-Roman War. How did that come about? Well, he was captured during the siege of Yodfit and then freed by Vespasian, the emperor. Josephus then worked for the Romans and chronicled the Roman campaign during the rest of the wars. Josephus would have based his narrative about the siege of Masada on the field commentaries of the Roman commanders because he had access to these Roman commanders. So what he said was no doubt quite accurate, despite the fact that, in my opinion, misguided current historians think that some of his information is bad. According to Josephus, in 66 AD, at the beginning of the first Jewish-Roman War, there were a group of Jewish zealots called Zechari. And they overcame Roman garrison near Masada and settled there. The Zechari were commanded by a man named Eleazar ben Yair. In 70 AD, this group, who were commanded by ben Yair, were joined by other Zechari and other zealots who had also fled Jerusalem. The Romans attacked Jerusalem, of course, in 68 AD. This was a couple of years earlier. By 70 AD, the Jewish temple had been destroyed by the Romans, who at that point turned their attention to mopping up. And one of the places to mop up was Masada, this plateau. The Zechari and other families of Jewish zealots that fled Jerusalem in the early stages of the Roman-Jewish War had settled and were living on the mountaintop at Masada. The zealots were the first group of Jews to rebel against Rome, and they were among the last to be put down by the Romans. According to Josephus, on Passover in 72 AD, the Zechari raided a place called Ein Gedi, a Jewish settlement near Masada. It was run by the Romans and Roman sympathizers. The Zechari killed 700 in that skirmish. And at that point, according to Josephus' narrative, the Roman governor of Judea, Lucius Flavius Silva, had enough. He personally decided to lead a Roman legion numbered 10 Fratensis, which was a number of military units, as well as this legion, all total about 15,000. 8 or 9,000 were soldiers. This entire group laid siege to the zealots, who numbered 960 on Masada. So the zealots on Masada were outnumbered more than 10 to 1. The Roman legion surrounded Masada, built a series of camps around the base of Masada to prevent escape, and then over several months they constructed a siege ramp on the western face of the plateau. This took thousands of tons of dirt and stones, and this ramp was quite steep on the western wall. It was necessary because the only other way up before this ramp was completed was this single file trail up the side. The ramp was completed in the spring of 73 AD after about 3 months of construction. A giant siege tower with a battering ram was also constructed and slowly moved up the ramp while the Romans assaulted from behind this siege tower the wall at the top of the ramp at Masada. They sent fiery projectiles and different things that landed against this timber wall. And finally, the Roman army was able to breach the wall of the fortress on April 16th of 73 AD. When the Romans entered, they didn't find what they expected. The Jewish rebels, having realized that there was no escape, had burned all the buildings and everything there except the food storerooms. Why hadn't they burned those? Because they wanted the Romans to know that they have plenty of food. When we come back, more about what the Romans found when they finally breached Masada. And we will also talk a little bit more about what Masada means, and then we'll turn our attention for a few minutes to the secret gospel of Mark. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Stay tuned, and if you have any questions or comments about this show, send them to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. We'll be right back.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our discussion today centers around the siege at Masada and also, in a few minutes, the secret gospel of Mark. Masada is a fascinating story. When we took our break, the Romans had just finished building their siege tower, which they had pushed up a ramp they had constructed over the course of several months. And when they got in there, what did they find? Everything was burned except food, and all of the rebels were dead. They had decided, the Jews had all decided with great care that they would prefer to kill each other than be taken by the Romans. And that was quite a decision, because if they were taken by the Romans, they would have been probably enslaved or put into captivity. It wouldn't have been a good life, but they would have continued to live. So how did this come about? What happened was that before the Romans had breached their walls there at the top of Masada, the zealots who were trapped there, according to Josephus, decided and believed that it was by the will of God and by necessity that they were going to have to die. According, and you may say, well, wait a minute, everybody's dead. How does Josephus know this? Well, according to William Whiston, who was the translator into English of Josephus' narrative, there were two Jewish women and five children who survived this suicide pact at Masada by hiding inside of a water cistern. And they were found and able to relate the story to the Romans and to Josephus, the historian. What happened was that probably the day before the Romans breached the final fortress door up at the top, Eleazar ben Yair, the commander of the Jews, told the Jews something very close to this. These are the words recorded by Josephus. Quote, "Since we long ago resolved never to be servants to the Romans, nor to any other than to God himself, who alone is the true and just Lord of mankind, the time is now come that obliges us to make the resolution true in practice. We were the very first that revolted, and we are the last to fight against them, and I cannot but esteem it as a favor that God has granted us, that it is still our power to die bravely and in a state of freedom," close quote. So according to Josephus, because Judaism prohibits suicide, Josephus reported that the defenders drew lots. There were 11 lots. There were 10 plus Ben Yair, their leader. And what happened was each one of these killed a group of the Jews that were there. And then the last man, killed the 10. So only one person took his own life. There are those who doubt this story. There are some modern professors who obviously weren't there to know, but who have claimed that this event never happened. And yet, We know that it did because why? Archaeology was done in the 1970s by a famed archaeologist, Yigael Yadin. And his team actually found at the top of Masada the lots that were cast by the Ten and by the leader Ben Yair. What these are little fragments of pottery with the names written on them. One is Ben Yair's lot, and then there are the other names of the ones who helped him. This is quite a legacy. There are those who were part of Masada who were willing to stand up for what they believed was right. They were not wimps. They were willing to place their life in jeopardy for their beliefs. All right, we have just a few minutes left. Now the secret gospel of Mark. This is a fascinating discovery. It happened in 1958 when Columbia professor Morton Smith found a previously unknown letter that was written by Clement of Alexandria, who was a great early Christian church leader. He lived from about AD 100 to AD 215. And the story's fascinating because where did he find this letter? He found it in a monastery that is quite close to Jerusalem. There's a monastery called Marsaba. It was constructed in, if I remember right, 467 AD. So this is over 1,500 years old, built just a few centuries after the time of Jesus and the apostles. And in this letter, it's addressed to a man named Theodore. Clement says that when Peter died, that Mark wrote his gospel and also wrote a more lengthy gospel that had secret things, or we would call them sacred things. And in this secret gospel of Mark, or this sacred gospel of Mark, we have a more detailed but different account, because it recounts additional details not found in the gospel of Mark, about what happened when Jesus rose Lazarus and brought him back from the grave. Now, the rest of the story that we find in the secret gospel of Mark is that after Lazarus was brought back from death, that Jesus stayed at his house, in the house of the two Marys and their mother Salome, whose name is in this secret gospel of Mark, but not in the regular gospel. And after a week or so, at the request of Lazarus, what happens is that Jesus takes him, Lazarus, out, and if one is astute and a Latter-day Saint, you can see that this looks like the initiatory work in the temple and in the endowment. And without getting into any detail about the LDS temple work or endowment or initiatory work, I can just say what's found in the secret gospel of Mark, and that is that street clothes are gone, and Mark has a linen smock on, and Jesus takes him out one evening and teaches him the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God, how to come into the kingdom of God once one's life is over. The parallels between the LDS temple work and the endowment are quite striking and have been chronicled by several LDS scholars. And this is quite remarkable. We don't have the actual secret gospel of Mark in anymore because it was lost by the Greek Orthodox convent where it was held, or monastery where it was held. But we do have photographs of it, and they're in color and also in black and white. So we know that it existed, we can read it, and the contents are fascinating for all Latter-day Saints. Two of the most amazing finds of our lifetime, the Secret Gospel of Mark, or at least a fragment of it, and the Siege of Masada and discovery of the lots that were cast there. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.